Morning. Today's daf in Nedarim is Yedala. We'll start the second parak this morning. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is long as Zechanish Maslipa Gabriela Bashmuel. And we begin Elam Mutarin. So these are the things that are mutar, meaning these are going to be Nedarim that you express, and the expression of these Nedarim will not result in a Neder. If for a technical reason, which is basically going to be the entirety of today's daf, and the technical reason is you didn't formulate it well. We know it's a rule that we've started since the beginning of the Masechta, but you know how the Gemara works. Even though it's a rule that we said from the beginning, it's only today's daf and daf Yudala where the Gemara is going to actually express the rule. And the rule is that in order to create an Eder, so you have to declare something to be Aser, and if you want to make a comparison, you're going to say, this is Aser just like this is Aser, what we call in Halacha Tfasa. We've already seen it since day one of the Masechta. The Darim on Daf Beis Amud Aleph went and explained that Tfasa is a comparison of one item to another, so it only works, but only when you compare to something which is Nadur. Meaning I take something and I say, this is Aser to me just like this is, so I'm comparing B to A. A's got to be something which is Aser to me, not because the Torah prohibits it, but because I created the Neder. And so a carbon's a classic example. In other words, so I say that this item to me is like a carbon. So just like a carbon's prohibited to me through a neder, so to this item is going to be prohibited to me. But if I say this is going to be prohibited to me just like A is prohibited to me, and the A is something which the Torah asks, so that's something that I didn't create. So therefore, that's not going to be a neder. So this is a rule. And the rule is, as we're going to express it time and again, davar ha-neder versus davar ha-aser. If I compare something to a neder, so that works. If I compare something to iser, that doesn't work. That's the rule. That's basically going to be today's daf. And the Mishnah starts off with a number of examples. Eilim mutarin chulin shel chalach. So first off, I say, you know that what you're eating? That's chulin to me. Chulin, food which is unconsecrated, perfectly acceptable to eat. So the Gemara is going to point out that's an obvious point. There's no chiddush there whatsoever. Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to ask that question. Kabasa chazir. Here we go. Here we go with the chidushim. So let's say I turn to the person, I say, you know, your food to me is going to be like chazir meat. Pork. Kavod kochavim. Your food to me is going to be like avodah zarah. Ba'kavod levavuvim. Your chazir, I'm sorry. Your food to me is going to be as prohibited as the hide that is against the heart. Stay tuned, I'll explain what that means in just a moment. Kinevelos ktrefos, your food is going to be like to me nevela, meat that went unshechted. Trefa, meat that was shechted but the animal had some sort of physical blemish with inside of it. So shkatzim v'ramasim, little creepy insects that are prohibited by the Torah. So in all these cases, as the Mishnah is about to point out, well, the Mishnah actually said in the heading. The heading of the Mishnah is Eilim Mutarim. So it's not going to be a neder. And the reason why is because I'm making all these comparisons to things which the Torah forbids, and it's already prohibited. So this is, again, falls under the category of Davar HaAser, not Davar HaNador. Let's go on in the Mishnah. I'm going to go back and explain some of the things in the Mishnah. Kechalas Aron Chumaso. So let's say I turn to your food and I say, your food is prohibited to me like the Chala. Chalas Aron. Now, it should sound familiar because we did this just a couple of days ago in the Gemara. Chalas Aron, compared to the dough that we take off of every dough. The Mishnah describes it as Chalas Aron, the Chala of Aron. I pointed out the irony last time. I'll just repeat the irony again. It's of all the Kohanim out there in the world historically that ever lived, Aron is the first Kohen, but in terms of Chala, the only Kohen historically who never ate Chala. The only one. Because we know the mitzvah of challah started when historically? Only after we went into Eretz Yisrael. Who didn't go into Eretz Yisrael? Aaron. So okay, so it's an irony that it's referred to as challah's Aaron. But again, it just basically means challah. The portion of dough that I take off the dough. So that is davar ha'aser, that's not davar ha'nadur. And the same thing with truma. In other words, every time I have fruit, according to the Rambam, all fruit, according to Rashi, Tosfos, only grapes, oil, and wheat. Oh, not wheat, but all five grains. So there's a mitzvah to take off truma and give it to the Kohen. So that's also not considered davar nadur, that's considered davar ha'aser. Okay, let's go back for just a moment. Let's just explain a couple of things. First of all, the Ran points out, the first statement of the Mishnah is so obvious. That which you eat is chulin. The Gemara is going to ask the question, so we're going to wait till the Gemara to get to that point. Then the Ran points out that in the Mishnah, if you look carefully at the Mishnah, you'll see that there's a progression in the Mishnah. Meaning, what are we comparing things to? Chazer meat, avodah zarah, and oros levuvim. Okay, so the Ran says, it's just very organized the way the Ran looks at the Mishnah. Basically, what the Mishnah is providing us is the following. I'm comparing the food that your food to things which the Torah prohibits. And the point the Mishnah is making is that it doesn't matter if that which is prohibited is asr ba'achila. Doesn't matter if it's asr ba'hana. Doesn't matter if it's super asr ba'hana. In other words, the Mishnah is just giving us example after example of things which are asr. As long as the Torah asks it, it's not going to be a neder because, again, that's not how hadfasa works. So, first of all, the Mishnah, basar chazer, meat of the chazer. In other words, pork. So that's what? That's asr ba'achila. I can't eat it. Next in the Mishnah is avodah zarah. Avodah zarah is asr ba'na. I can't benefit from avodah zarah. Next in the Mishnah is oros levuvim. So what's that? So the Ran points out over here, it's the Gemara in avodah zarah. Here's how the idolatrous practitioners would do. So in order to offer to their gods, lowercase g, so what they would do is they would cut a hole in the chest of an animal while the animal's alive, and then they would take their hand into the cavity of the chest and they would rip the heart out. Well, obviously after they rip the heart out, the animal's no longer alive, and they offer that heart to their avodah zarah. Sounds pagan? It should sound pagan. That's it. It is pagan. Okay. So that's what's called in halach. It's called takrovus avodah zarah. The Ran points out over here. Everything I'm saying is the Ran. So just there's nothing. I'm not providing any chidushim. I'm just presenting the Ran. The Ran points out over here, takrovus avodah zarah is even more prohibited than avodah zarah. I know this sounds strange, but halachically it's true. When it comes to avodah zarah can undergo a process what's called bittul, meaning if the guy decides that this is no longer an avodah zarah to me, in other words, for years he's been worshiping this little rock, and then he finally realized, you know, there's nothing to this rock, dumb rock. So there's bittul by avodah zarah. Takrovus avodah zarah, however, anything offered as an offering to avodah zarah, so cannot experience bittul. So interestingly, the takrovus avodah zarah is more asr than the actual avodah zarah itself, and that's exactly the progression within the Mishnah. The Mishnah is telling us isr achila doesn't work, isr hana doesn't work, isr hana that doesn't have bittul doesn't work. That's the Ran's understanding of the Mishnah, how the Mishnah is providing a progression in terms of Isser, followed then by greater Isser, followed then by even greater Isser. Then Trefa, Shkatzim, Ramasim, the Ran points out. Over here, too, also the Mishnah is going in a progression. Because, Nevela, Trefa, Shkatzim, Ramasim. Because Nevela and Trefa are just prohibited to eat. Shkatzim, Ramasim, what does that add? What dimension does that add? There's not only you're not allowed to eat it, but in some cases, also give off Tumah as well. So, in other words, progressively they get more and more Chamer. Let's go over a point in the Mishnah which we've gone over before, but let's repeat it again. The Mishnah says that Chala and Truma is considered a Davar Ha'as or not a Davar Hanadar. And without the Mishnah, I could have argued in another direction. I could have said, Chala, what does that mean? It means that I take off a portion and I declare it to be Chala. Truma, same thing. I have produce in my house. I take off a portion and declare it to be Truma. And once I do that, so the Chala and the Truma for most of the Jewish people become prohibited. And the only one who can eat it are the Kohanim. If without the Mishnah, I could have made a very easy argument, that's considered a Davar Hanadah, that's not considered a Davar Ha'asr. And meanwhile, the Mishnah says it's a Davar Ha'asr. So the Ran is bothered by this, but the Ran says, first of all, you have to call it a Davar Ha'asr, because that's exactly the point of the Mishnah. Why is it called a Davar Ha'asr? So the Ran says, because that's not you determining that this is Truma, you're just simply following the instruction of the Torah. Torah tells you, you got to take off Chala. Torah tells you, you got to take off Truma. This is not a voluntary act on your part. This is something that you have to do. That's not called a Davar Nadar. Davar Nadar is a carbon. Carbon, for example, that's something where you don't, in some cases you do, but you don't have to bring the carbon. You volitionally decide that this animal is now going to bring a carbon. That's a Davar Hanadur. But over here, when we're talking about Chal and Truma, where you're just following instruction of the Torah, so that's not a Davar Hanadur, that's a Davar Asr. That's basically how the Ran formulates why this is considered a Davar Hanadur. Tosos earlier in the Masechta gave a very interesting presentation in terms of why it is that Chal and Truma are considered Davar Asr, not Davar Hanadur. Because what is Truma being taken off of, and what's Chala taken off of? They're being taken off of what's called Tevel, meaning before I take off Truma and Maestros off of any produce or of the dough, in case of Chala, so what that is prior to that is what's called Tevel. Tevel means produce that's untithed. I'm not allowed to eat produce which is untithed. Why am I not allowed to eat produce which is untithed? Torah says so. But in other words, if we could just dig a little bit deeper behind that, why not? So Tosu says, I'll tell you why not. Because there's truma inside of it. In other words, until I take out the truma, it is that tevel is going to be prohibited. So the reason why, it's very interesting, the reason why Tosfos says that the Chala and Truma is considered a Davar HaAsur is because it's always been Asur, meaning even before I took off the Trumas and Maisros, in its state of Tevel, Tevel is just simply Trumas and Chala still embedded in the item. And when I take it out, all I'm doing is just taking out the, quote-unquote, the Isur from it. It's a Davar Isur, it's not a Davar HaNadur. That's the way the Tosfos formulated it earlier in the Masechta. Okay? Yeah, you're correct. Oh, right, Bechor also. I mean, the Gemara discussed it just a day ago. Right, the yesterday's daf. Right, end of the day prior. But Bechor also, like, it's the Gemara also kind of grapples with, you know, is that something voluntary? Is it something that you?
No, it's not.
Right, correct, correct.
Is that what it's required by a Kohen? Like, if a Kohen owned?
Yeah. So this Tosos a little bit tricky because Kohen can't eat Tevel, even though
he cannot.
Nobody can eat Tevel. Even though from the Cohen standpoint, like what's inside of Tevel? Meaning what's its formula? Its formula is it's got like a little bit of Truma, a lot of Meiser, not a lot, but 10% Meiser, and the rest of it's Chulin. So why couldn't the Cohen eat Tevel? So that's a classic question. Again, if you're going with this approach. Okay, that takes us now, we're not done with the Mishnah yet, we're back to the Mishnah.
How about if a Cohen makes an Nader like that? On
or, right.
Then what? Then,
right. For him, it's not something which is a Davar HaAsur.
Right. Then what?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. I don't know. Okay. So that takes us now to the first half of the Mishnah. Now we move into the second half of the Mishnah. Say, in the Mishnah, now, the Ran points out that if you look at the Mishnah, that we know that there's a pause in the Mishnah. Because look at the first words of the Mishnah, Eilu Mutarin. Right. These are the things which are Mutar. And then the Mishnah gave us a list, and we went through every one of the items in the Mishnah. And then, the Mishnah, after saying the word Chumaso, the Mishnah then says Mutar. The Ran says that was superfluous. Because the beginning of the Mishnah says Eilu Mutarim. So the Ran says what the Mishnah is doing over here is creating a separation between everything up until this point in the Mishnah and from this point going forward. And in just a moment, after learning the Mishnah, I'll explain to you why the two are separated. Ha'omer li'ishto hare'at alayki ima. Man turns to his wife and he says, you're like my mother. In other words, I know this could be totally psychological and right, but in other words, he's saying that you're usher to me like my mother. Okay, one's mother is an erva, it's one of the arais in the Torah. So he turns to his wife and says that he makes a neder, just like my mother's usher to me, you're going to be usher to me as well. He's upset with his wife. So the Mishnah says, now before we go on in the Mishnah, so what's the halacha? Meaning the halacha is over here is, again, let's leave the whole, you know, marriage counseling out of the issue. Let's just deal with the halacha. What's the halacha? There's no neder. Because again, what did you compare it to? You compared it to something which is a davar asur, not a davar noder. Right. Your mother, the Torah prohibits. That's not something which you volitionally took upon yourself. So this is not considered a hatfasa. So if we didn't have any more of the Mishnah, we would have said mutter, meaning it's not a neder. Mishnah, however, goes on to say, poskel pesach mimokam acher, shelo yakav rosh lekach. So the Mishnah tells us that no, you need a pesach. You need an opening. Something which we haven't discussed yet in the Masechta, which is going to come up later in the Masechta, and that is a pesach, meaning that once you make a neder, once the neder is binding, there's a way out of a neder. There's a couple ways out of a neder, but one of the ways of getting out of a neder is going to a Talmud Chacham, saying, look, had I known X, Y, and Z, I wouldn't have made the neder. And so the Chacham listens to your argument, and providing that you give a good argument, so the Chacham could release you from your neder. It's called the Pesach. So here, if you made such a neder, you need a Pesach. You need to go to a Chacham and get released from this neder. Why should that be? So once again, I'll explain them in just a moment. The Ryan over here explains. So I'll speak it out in just a second. So however, the Mishnah points out, when the Chacham makes a Pesach, don't use mom as the Pesach. Meaning that one of the things we'll learn later in the Masechta, and we're saying it right now as well, is that although there are legitimate excuses to get out of a neder, shouldn't use mom or dad as one of those excuses. It's a breach of the kavod of your...
Mom? Huh? What do you mean by using mom?
Meaning, you would have said to the guy, had you known that this would have been insulting to your mom to make this comparison, would you have made the neder? And he says, no, I would never have made the neder. So even though that is a legitimate way to get out of a neder, but you're not allowed to use a parent as a pesach, it's a lack of cover to the parent. So okay, so that's the basic halacha in general. And the Mishnah just simply says over here, you need a pesach, just don't use your parents as a pesach. Find another avenue you to get out of the neder other than just using your parents. Now, why do you need a Pesach? Well, so the Ron points out over here. Now let's say the Ron outside. The Ron says over here, the reason why you need a Pesach over here, and the Ron points out that you don't need a Pesach in all the other cases in the Mishnah, is because by all the other cases in the Mishnah, it's not a neder. In other words, you compare the item to a Dover HaAsr, not a Dover HaNeder, so therefore you don't need a Pesach. Over here, however, you do. The Ron points out, Midrabanan. Rabbinically, you need a Pesach, but not Min HaTorah, because Min HaTorah, simply not a neder. However, in the normal course of a marriage, husband and wife, sometimes there is going to be a little bit of friction. We talked about this back in Ksuvos, how it's, you know, every marriage has in it a little bit of friction, and there's just going to be a little bit of animosity between the two. And sometimes tension rises, and sometimes the husband says to the wife, or vice versa, I'm going to make a neder. That's it. I'm not going to, I don't want any part of you. Fine. So unfortunately, because of its frequency, so the Chachamim said that if a man made a neder against his wife, so even though Min HaTorah it's not a neder, but because of its frequency, so the Ron says that the Chachamim required you to make a Pesach. The reason why, says the Ron, Gzeira. Because right now your neder that you're making is an ineffective neder, because you compared it to a Davar Aser, but next time you do it, maybe you may get it right, you may make the neder correctly, and you compare it to a Davar HaNeder, not to a Davar HaAser. So therefore, the rabbis therefore required the person to get a release out of it. We're going to learn in the Gemara later this morning, this is only true if the person who made a neder is an Amaretz. If the person is a Talmid Chacham and understands the basic difference between a Davar HaNeder and a Davar Aser, so then he doesn't need a Pesach. This requirement is only for an Amaretz, not for a Talmid Chacham. That's a point we'll see later on as well.
So why don't they make the Gezeirah for for the other ones too.
Why don't we say a low plug on this gezeira? Generally we do. Here we don't. Okay. I don't know the answer, but that's just presenting what the Gemara says later on. Okay. And the other cases in the Mishnah, however, you don't need not even midrabanan, you need a Pesach, because these other cases are not going to be that frequent. There's a davar shlo shchiach. Let's start with the Gemara. We're on the bottom of Yom Amud Beis. Taima da amr chulin sha'ochalach ha'amr lach chulin sha'ochalach mashma lo lechulin lahave ala carbon. Okay, now, as Aaron explains, there's no way that the Mishnah is just telling us chulin. Meaning, what you're eating to me is chulin, the Mishnah says that's okay. Of course that's okay. There has to be embedded in the Mishnah a chiddush. Otherwise, there's just simply no point. What's the chiddush in the Mishnah? So the Gemara immediately jumps to the assumption of, oh, I know what the chiddush is. Chulin is okay. But if I had a lamed in front, and remember how we discussed a couple days ago, lamed has to be a have a patach underneath. So if I say lachulin, and lachulin is a contraction of lochulin, that which I eat from you is not chulin. So what's implied in that statement? If it's not chulin, what is it? So the other option is that it's a carbon. So, but that only assumes that from a negative comment, I can infer the positive connotation. The Gemara says that's the shita Rav Meir. So mani masnisen ira meir halaisle mechlal lava toshamehain. So the Gemara says, well, I'm sorry, it can't be Rabbi Meir because Rabbi Meir doesn't subscribe to this principle. So ala Rabbi Yehuda. So then the author of the Mishnah must be Rabbi Yehuda, Haina Reisha. The Gemara says, okay, but after having covered the first parak of the Masechta, the Mishnah already gave us case after case of the Rabbi Yehuda study, the Rabbi Yehuda Shita of Mechal Lava Tashamehain. And so what bothers the Gemara now is that really, if we're in the second parak of Nedarim, and the Mishnah just wants to review with us the idea of Rav Yehuda, that Mechla Lava Tashamehain, we know that already. Meaning, we've been there already, we've covered that in the first parak, and I can't imagine, says the Gemara, this is basically what the Gemara is saying, I can't imagine that in the beginning of the second parak, we're just going to rehash and review the opinion of Rav Yehuda. It's hard to imagine. So, Haina Reisha. So, I did diktani kebaster chazir kevaz kochavim lachi ketani chulin. So the Gemara says, no, the reason why chulin is introduced in our Mishnah is basically it's a setup. Meaning, just like when I say that your food to me is chulin, and makes it no neder whatsoever, so too all these other cases in the Mishnah, your food to me is going to be chulin, even though I compared it to chazer, treifa, avodah zarah, all the things which the Torah prohibits to me, but it would be just as well as if I said, your food is chulin to me. That's all the Mishnah is doing. It's just giving us a context for the rest of the Mishnah. Ravina Amar Hachi Ketani. Ravina says, well, maybe this is a way to understand our Mishnah. Ve'elu Mutarin Kichulin. Maybe what the Mishnah over here is doing is providing a heading. This is going to be mutter just like chulin. Kabasa chasir, kavos kochavim. So the Gemara says, Ve'elu Tana Chulin, hava amina bai she'elo. So the Gemara says, and now what? Without the heading, what would have happened? What would have happened is that I really would have been confused in the Mishnah. Maybe I would have thought that with all these cases, min ha-Torah, it's not an eder. Midrabanan, I still need a she'ela. The Gemara says, really? You would have had such a havamina? Only in the very last case in the Mishnah, when a man compares his wife to his mother, trying to create an eder, you're going to be as zesa to me as my mother. And what did the Mishnah say? There you need a she'ela. You need to go to a Tamei Chacham to get it released from your neder. So what does that imply? All the other cases in the Mishnah, I don't need it. Mechlal Dereisha Lo Bai She'ela. Ela Machvarta Chulin Mimela Naspa. So the Gemara says, really, Chulin just comes along for the ride. Meaning that the Gemara just finally concedes it and acknowledges there really is no Chiddush in the word Chulin at the heading of our Mishnah. It just came along for the ride. Period. Ad Kan. That... the Gemara struggles really with what Chulin is doing in our Mishnah, and the Gemara just simply says it's there because it's there. But there's nothing to be gained by that. Minahani Mili.
Just say, by the way, because sort of progression, it starts with
Nani. Right. With that run, it does work out nicer. That could be very good. Minahani Mili Amakra. So the Gemara says now, how do I know? How do I know that when you create a neder and you want to compare item A to item B, so how do I know that you have to compare it to something which is a davar ha-neder, not a davar ha-oser? Minahani mili. Amakra ish ki yador neder la Hashem. The Torah, when introducing us to the idea of nedarim, the Torah says, Parshas Matos, when a man makes a neder, but the Torah uses a double lashon of, ish ki yador neder. So the double language of yidor neder, Achidur bedavar hanadur. So the double language is that when I make a comparison, the only way that my neder will be effective is if I compare A to B, and B is already a davar hanadur. Then A is going to be a davar hanadur as well. So yahachi afilo bedavar asur nami daaksiv leesur isar al nafsho. Gemara says, oh, really? The double lashon? So read on. If you read on in Chumash, the Torah goes on to say, leesur isar. So you have the double language for Isser as well. So shouldn't that tell us then that a comparison to a Dover Asr is going to be also effective neder? So the Gemara says, Le'esor Isser mi bai lelechid detanya. No. Happens to be that we already have a drasha for that halacha. What drasha do we have for that halacha? Sorry, for that pasuk? The drasha is, Ezu Isser Amor Betara. Gemara says, remember what we learned 2 days ago. So let's remember what we learned 2 days ago in the daf. Remember, the man says, I'm not going to eat food today, just like I didn't eat food b'yom misas ha'av. Right? The day of the death of dad. So just like I didn't eat food that day, I'm not going to eat food today as well. Right? And the Gemara used that case to try to analyze the question of, do I follow the Ikar? Do I follow the current state? But anyway, but a person makes that statement, then there were 4 statements that were made back on Daf Yud Beis. Just like on the Yom Mises Ha'av, Yom Mises Rebbe, the day of the death of Gedaliah ben Achikam, or the day of the Chorban Yerushalayim. So if I say that this food is going to be prohibited, just like it was prohibited on those days, so that's considered, in fact, a good comparison. And the Ran points out over here, the Ran also pointed out back then as well, that what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that even though that is not a global prohibition, meaning Yom Mises Ha'av, right? Who can't eat food on that day? It's only for me. And even though it is a prohibition that is exclusive only to me, but that's considered, nevertheless, a good hatfasa. That would be a good comparison, even though I'm only comparing it to something which is prohibited exclusively and only to me. That's what we learn now from Isar, Lasur Isar. So that pasuk has already taken, that's already spoken for. So the kiyidur neder, where we don't have a drasha, so there we learn out the halacha that when I make a hatfasa, when I make a comparison, I have to compare it to something which is nadur, not to something which is aser. Okay, ad kan. Takes us to the end of the Gemara. That's it. Meaning, the big halacha that really we've quote-unquote known since day one of the Masechta is really encapsulated in today's daf. This is the drasha. This is where we learn it out from. Ha'omer li'ishto hare at alai ki'ima viriminu. Okay, just finishing up the daf. We have just two more discussions to have. The last case of Mishnah, man's upset with his wife. He makes a neder against his wife. You'll find, by the way, throughout the Masechta, like nedarim are like really emotional. They're like reactionary. They're like, you know, in other words, the person like thinking and like calm and reasonable. So he's not going to make a neder. But he's not calm and he's not reasonable. And probably one of the reasons why he made the neder. So he says to his wife, you're going to be also to me. Now he uses the example of a davar. Also uses his own mother as an example. Okay. The Ron points out, and the Ron uses our Gemara coming up right now as a good proof. It's more than a good proof. It's you know, it's pretty straightforward. The point over here is that you're comparing her to a Dover Aster. It doesn't have to be your mother. It could be to any Dover Ha'aster. Can be a sister. Can be right. It could be the Gemara is going to give the example. Could be Arla. Could be Klai HaKerem. Just happens to be that you chose mother. Just to raise an interesting question. What if you compare your wife to Ashes Ish, right, to a married woman? Is that a Dover Ha'aster? Is that considered a Dover HaNadar? Right,
why is it
an Aser? It is Aser. But how was that Iser created? I understand the Torah says it's Aser.
It's a Gemara.
But, on the other hand,
she can become
Mutter. And the only reason why she became Aser is because somebody married her. Meaning someone volitionally chose her to be his wife.
But the Torah tells you...
Okay, just raising it as food for thought. But anyway, the Bryce over here says, Harei at alai kebasa ima, kebasa achosi, ka'arlo klai karem, lo amar klum. So the Bryce says that if a man makes a neder against his wife, and he compares her to his mother, his sister, arla klai akerem, so what he said is absolutely ineffective. Again, based on the basic rule that we learned in today's daf, which is that in order to create a comparison, you have to compare it to something which is a davar hanader, not a davar haaser. So amar abaye lo amar klum and arayis if it's tarch she'ela midirabanan. So Abai says, correct. Min HaTorah, what you said is nothing. It's not a good hadfasa. But midrabanan you need a she'ela. Rava amar haba tamid hachamim haba amaretz. And Rava gives a different resolution. And that is when it comes to Talmud Chacham, so that what you say is absolutely nothing. However, our mission that says that you have to go to a Chacham in order to get you have to ask a She'ela from a Chacham to get a Pesach, to get a release from the Neder, that's talking about an Amar, it's Veha Tanya. And the Ron points out over here that this is Benichusa, meaning this is a support for what we just said, for what Rava just said. I know the Betara Lo Amar Klum. If a person makes the Neder using the Torah, I'll explain what that means better in just a moment. So what he said is totally ineffective. Ve'amar Rav Yochanan v'tzarach she'ela chacham. And Rav Yochanan says, despite the fact that the neder is ineffective, you have to go to a chacham. Ve'amar Rav Nachman v'tam chacham v'tzarach she'ela. And Rav Nachman says that the tam chacham doesn't need she'ela. So you see that there's a distinction between being an Amaretz and being a Talmid Chacham. Sometimes an Amaretz, when making a neder, because he doesn't understand the fine distinctions that are created within the world of nedarim, davar aser is not a neder, davar nader is a neder, and knowing the distinction, knowing how to actually articulate the distinction between a davar nader and davar aser. So all this is, you know, it's higher level thinking. So if you're an Amaretz, and you're not sophisticated with the basic understanding of these fine distinctions, so you have to go, in every case, every time you make an eder, you have to go ask a she'ela. However, Talmud Chacham does need to ask a she'ela. Okay,
yeah,
that's...
What is he saying? Is it Talmud Chacham?
Yeah, so, right.
He's saying stupid things.
But he's just being
impulsive. I'm going to say the opposite.
I do hear you, but he's just being impulsive. Okay, but I hear. Okay, and so the same thing. So... it's interesting. The Gemara says, "Vatanya, we learned in the Braisa." The truth of the matter is, the only thing we learned in the Braisa is "Hanu de Betor Lo Amar Klum." It's only based on the Amarim, Rav Yochanan, Rav Nachman. Do we see the distinction between a Talmud Chacham and an Amaretz? Okay. Top of Yedalad Amud Beis Tanya. Okay, so we brought up this case about a person making a neder betora. I really didn't do a good job explaining it yet. Hopefully I will in just a moment. But anyway, we brought that down just to show there's a distinction. We are now on the top of Yudal Amud Beis, and just one more thing we're going to be covering. Hano de Betora Lo Amar Klum. So here in this Bryce and now, we're going to have this discussion about making a neder using a Torah as the basis for making a neder. So I know this is going to sound funny, but you'll see. When we go through the brisa, we'll all understand a little bit better. Hanoda b'tor lo amar klum. So case number one is I make a neder, and I say that just like the Torah is prohibited, stay tuned, I'll explain better in just a moment, so too this item is prohibited, so that's it's a meaningless statement. It's not a neder. If, however, I'm more specific in case number two of this brisa, and I say, I'm not just comparing this item to the Torah, but to that which is written in the Torah, so then dvarv kayam. That's significant. And therefore, the neder is in fact going to be a good neder. Ba uva meshekasava dvarv kayamim. And then, in the third case of the brisa, I'm even more specific. I say ba, meaning the Torah, uva meshekasava, and that which is written in the Torah, dvarv kayamim, that is a legitimate neder. Now, perfect. Phil, perfect. Couldn't have asked for a better setup. So, first of all, now, even though the brisa opens up with the word neder, if you think about it, that's right, sounds a little bit more like a shvua. In other words, I swear, right, using a Torah, because generally speaking, when you make a shvua, you're going to be holding a Sefer Torah. So I swear with the Sefer Torah, with the power of the Sefer Torah. So if you're just talking about the actual parchment, okay, that's just the parchment. But if I'm talking about the contents that which in the Torah, so then that's going to be effective. So it does sound like a shvua. And the Ron spends a long time, right, really literally from the top of the page to about halfway down, defending the position that over here we're describing a shvua. Of course, what makes all this very difficult is that when you look at the Braisa, what's the opening word of the Braisa? Hanoder b'Torah. So it does seem, even though, again, you can make the very strong argument that we're talking about shvua, it's talking about neder. So the Ron just simply says, yeah, but that happens all the time. Right. That we're talking about a shvua, and the term that's used to describe is a neder. And sometimes when we talk about a neder, sometimes they use the word shvua, the terms are interchangeable. Now, that's... And the Ron says this, by the way, a number of times, at least, you know, as I can remember through the since the beginning of the Masechta, the terms are interchangeable. It is a little bit ironic that in the area where we need to be very specific with language, right, Nedarim and Shavuos, the Ron makes the argument, yeah, but those terms are interchangeable. You would think that of all places in Halacha, I would not interchange those terms. Anyway... Very interesting, however, the Ron does quote the Ravid. You know, one of the big differences, I made this point before, one of the big differences between the Ron and Rashi, aside from the fact that the Ron writes a lot, and the Rashi does not write as much, Rashi is very concise in his explanation of the Gemara, but one of the big differences is that historically, the Ron lives well after Rashi, right? Who is Rashi quoting when he, you know, when he gives a parish on the Gemara? Generally speaking, nobody. Right. In other words, right. He's quoting. I mean, obviously, he learned it with his Rebbeim, but he doesn't have many people to quote. The Ron, on the other hand, who is in Spain and is living now into the 14th century, so he's got everybody, right? He's got the Rashba, the Ramban, the Ravid. In other words, he's got all the Spanish greats, you know, at his disposal, and so. Very often he'll say, you know, here's what I think of the Peshat is, but I have to tell you, I'm going to be honest, you know, some of my Rebbeim, the Rav, the Rashba, the Ramban, some of my Rebbeim don't agree. And or he'll quote his, in other words, so you're going to find in the Ron, and it's part of the reason why it's, you know, it's so much longer than Rashi is on, you know, the rest of Shas, is because he's quoting his Rebbeim, because, you know, they already learned the Gemara, and they're already saying Peshat in the Gemara. So over here, the Ron quotes the Ravid, and the Ravid says, you know, we're talking about Neder. We're not talking about Shvuah. And just say, it's very interesting. I'll just say over the Ravid's Peshat. What does that mean, Neder? Now again, in the world of Neder, what do you have to say? In order to create a comparison, you have to compare it to something which is a Davar HaNeder, not a Davar HaAser. So, if you want to, I'll just read it inside. Aval HaRavid's Al Pirish. Now I'm more than halfway down in the Ron. And he goes on to write, Dechik Tani Noder Noder Mamish. When it says neder, means neder mamish. If you want to find me, it is, as the lines are, the widest on the page. 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down from there. Right in the middle of that line. Aval ha-ravid zalpirish techiktani noder noder mamish kamar. It means, like, really neder. She'omer kikazer alai b'torah v'lo amar klum. So if I compare this loaf of bread to a sefer Torah, and I just simply say Torah, so that's nothing. Lefi she'ein zemadfis ala big villain. Because all I'm doing is comparing it to the parchment. Aval amar b'meshe kasava, but if I compare it not to the actual parchment, but to the words, klomar, kikar ze alai b'meshe kasava, if I compare the loaf of bread to the letters of the Torah, hare ze aser kematfis b'davar hanadur. And this falls under the category of davar nadur. Why? Mishum dedaite ahaskaros. Because really his intent is on Shem Hashem. Meaning when the Sofer writes a Sefer Torah, so he's going to be writing Shem Hashem multiple times. V'haskar Shaba Nidurim Hain. Fascinating. The Ran says that when the Shem Hashem is written by a Sofer in a Sefer Torah, it's a Davar HaNador. He, right? Read on. Sha'ayideh Aksiva V'achan L'Shem Kedusha Hain Kedushos. Because of the hachana, the preparation, you got to share this one with your son today. Right. So by preparing and giving and imbuing it with the kavanah of Shem Hashem, so he is imbuing the kedusha into the Sefer Torah. Meaning he's creating the Isser in the Torah. The I'm going to say Isser. I mean the, right, the kedusha in the Torah. The Hevi Raiman and Yushalmi, and then the Ravid brings a proof from the Gemara Yushalmi. So fascinating. The Ran actually describes this as being a Davar Anador, not a davar, I'm sorry, a neder, not a shvua, and then he goes on to argue. By the way, what I skipped, which is about half the page of Ran, is that the Ran doesn't agree. The Ran thinks that it's a shvua, not a neder. Okay, anyway, back to our Gemara. There are three cases, let's just finish this up to the Mishnah. There are three great cases that brought down this Braisa. Case number one, Hanod de Betorah. Ineffective. Case number two, Bamashikasav Ba, effective neder. Case number three, Ba Ubamashikasav Ba, also effective. And so now you've been around long enough, you know that once you have case number two, you don't need case number three. Okay, and so that bothers the Gemara as it traditionally would. Ketani Bamashikasav Ba, Dvarav Kayamim. Ba Ubamashikasav Ba, Tzorch Lememar. Once I have case number two, I don't need case number three. And so, prompts the Gemara to ask a very simple question. If the Bryce's interest is teaching us a point, and as concisely as possible, so just teach me in the case number two, and you don't need to teach me case number three. Amrav Nachman Lokasha, Hadamachta Araisa Ara Hadanaka Labiade. So the Gemara gives three answers to this question. Answer number one, depending on whether the Sefer Torah is being held or whether it's on the floor. Now, I know the Gemara says right now that the Torah is on the floor. Don't take the Gemara so literally. It just simply means you're not holding the Sefer Torah. Machdal Ara Daita Agvili. If it is on the floor and you just simply say ba, meaning it's a reference to the actual Sefer Torah itself. But if you're holding the Sefer Torah in your hand and you say the word Shabbat, so then you're actually, once you're already holding the Sefer Torah, it's clear you're talking about the Sefer Torah, so the word Ba is even being more specific, it's talking about the actual letters. That's answer number one. Or the Gemara says that really, the Sefer Torah is on the floor. Again, just simply means you're not holding it. And once you say the words b'meshe kasav ba, so that's an effective language. And then, so back to the question. So once I know case number two, so why do I need case number three? So the Gemara says it's a stylistic point that we often find throughout the Braisa. Zu, Bein Tzarech Lomar Zu. Here's a Chiddush, and then I'll tell you something else, which is no longer a Chiddush. But I'll tell it to you anyway. Or the Gemara says no. Maybe really all the cases in the Braisa are talking about when you're holding the Sefer Torah. But Kamash Malan, Kevin Denaka Le Biadei, Afagav Delo Amar Ela Ba, Kemanda Amar Bame Shekasav Ba Dami. And even though I'm holding in my hand and I say the words Bame Shekasav Ba, it's as if, I say Ba, it's as if I say Bame Shekasav Ba. Okay, so that's another way to present the case of the Braisa and explain to us what the Chiddush of that third case of the Braisa is. Okay,
can
so.
Say, since he said one, you know, positive, one negative, because when he says. Now the third case, he gives one of each, so you would have thought maybe, he's retracting.
Right, so again, so that's
you need it.
Okay, good. It could very well be the Gemara struggles, and the Gemara just simply says, as a third possibility, that the word ba is tantamount to saying by Mishnah Kasav ba. Okay, let's wrap it up. Let's summarize, and then we'll tomorrow pick it up from the Mishnah. So again, we started the second paragraph of the Masechta today. describing the types of nedarim that are ineffective. The reason why they're ineffective is because instead of choosing a davar nadar, I choose a davar oser, and the just gzeiras hakasuv, it just simply doesn't work when I compare it to a davar oser. Although I didn't point this out. You could look again at the Ran today. I know there's a lot of Ran today, and I summarized a lot of it. But you could look at the Ran today. The Ran says today that maybe even without the Torah, intuitively, I would have known that it's a Davar Nadar, not a Davar Oser. But anyway, the if I compare something to a Davar Oser, it's just simply an ineffective Neder. And the Mishnah gave us a whole list of examples of a Davar Oser. And then the Mishnah gave us a Chiddush at the end, which is that if a man makes a Neder against his wife, even though he uses the ineffective language of a Davar Oser, he still rabbinically has to go and ask a Sheila from a Talmid Chacham. The Gemara then went on to say, at the bottom of Yudal Amid Aleph, that that's only true by Amaretz, that's not true by Talmid Chacham. And again, the Chachamim were concerned that because the tension exists between a husband and wife, and so therefore he commonly makes such a neder, so therefore we want to not lead him into the habit of making such a neder, so force him to go to a Talmid Chacham, to ask a Sheila every time he makes a neder. The Gemara goes on to discuss the source of this halacha, davar nadar, davar aser, comes out from the Torah, ish ki dor neder, the double language of yidor neder. What about lesor iser? The Gemara says we use that for another drasha. And finally, the last point the Gemara made today is that if you make a neder using a sefer Torah, and again, let's just follow like the Ravid, even though the Ran disagrees, if you make a neder using a sefer Torah, so the depends whether you're focusing on the actual sefer or on that which is written in. If you're focusing on the sefer, that's an ineffective language. If you're focusing on the actual ksiva, on the letters, so the Ravid said that's considered a davar hanadur, and so therefore it's going to be effective, and it's just a question of what language I have to say and what position the Torah has to be in order to know that I'm going not on the Torah, but I'm going on that which is written in the sefer Torah. At Kan. That takes us to the end of